You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Saints are people who have faith in Jesus Christ.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord Jesus Christ, beginner and ender of faith, give us joy as you had joy enduring your cross. And by your glory, give us faith to run with persistence the race set before us, always looking to you, your cross, your crown, by faith, and finally coming by your grace to your glory. Amen. In some parts of the world, this program is called the Lutheran Hour. In other parts of the world, it is better known as Bringing Christ to the Nations. The purpose of this program is not to glorify Martin Luther or the Lutheran Church. Lutherans would not want us to do that. Like Martin Luther, they believe in Jesus Christ, and they want to proclaim the good news of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the heart and core of the good news of God. God is the heart and the core of all of life. Without him, people begin to live more or less like beasts of the jungle. St. Paul warned even Christian people that they should be careful not to consume one another, that is, not eat each other up. The people of God have got better things to do than that. The writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews summed it all up at the beginning of the 12th chapter of his letter. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely to us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured a cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That puts everyone in his place. Martin Luther, all the saints who have gone before us, all the people who are alive in the world today, and each one who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ today. What is Luther's place? Why, in heaven with the rest of the saints who lived by faith in Jesus Christ and died holding firmly to that faith. Luther was the last man to want to have a denomination named after him. Like Paul, he said, "Did I die for your sins?" Both Paul and Luther proclaimed Jesus Christ. They believed in Jesus Christ, and they lived by faith in Jesus Christ. Martin Luther did not make any additions to God's plan of salvation. He did not contribute something special that had never been known before. God's plan is laid down clearly and unmistakably in Jesus Christ. And that plan is described in rich detail and with becoming warmth in the Scriptures. The Scriptures tell us that the saints who have died in the faith are to be examples for us, that we follow not in their steps, but in the steps of their faith in Jesus Christ. As St. Peter once said, Jesus Christ has given us a kind of copybook which we are to follow. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. He just committed everything to him who judges righteously, that is, his Father, in whom he put all his confidence. His Father justified that confidence by raising him from the dead and declared him to be the Son of God with power by resurrection from the dead. In the chapter just before this text, there's quite a list of saints, people like Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Enoch, Gideon, Barak, Deborah, and others. These people trusted in the Lord and kept firm faith in him. Toward the end of the chapter, the writer says, I could mention many more whose faith you would do well to imitate. Since the days of Jesus Christ, there have been many more. There are his apostles who are not mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, because at that time they were still participants on the playing field, so to speak. There have been many more since them, saints who were saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Martin Luther is one of them, one among many. In his own words, a saint and a sinner at the same time, justified by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Hebrews tells us, indeed the whole New Testament tells us, saints are people who have faith in Jesus Christ. They are regarded as holy by God because of Jesus Christ and for no other reason. Holiness without Jesus Christ is impossible. Holiness that is a product of one's own effort makes that person impossible. Some of the most impossible people I have known are those who regarded themselves as holy. Only one can look upon us as holy. Only one can declare us holy, bring us into his family, and make us his own sons and daughters. That's the one who sent his son, Jesus Christ, and justifies everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. If that's what makes a person holy, Martin Luther certainly belongs there. His faith turned him to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all his sins. No one since the days of the apostles has spoken with such humanity and such warmth about the love of God who forgives the sins of people for the sake of Jesus Christ. There was nothing new about that in Luther's day. There's nothing new about it today. It goes right back to the cross of Jesus Christ. His cross is at the center of everything, calling people to God. What he has done and what he will do out of the greatness of his love. God gives faith to people to see Jesus Christ as their Savior. He heals their consciences. He forgives their sins. And he gives them new hope to live by. That's true of all the saints. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a country he'd never heard of before, went. When he got there, he did not know he had arrived. He lived there in tents with Isaac and Jacob as a pilgrim in a foreign land, looking for the city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He preferred to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, because he had respect to the recompense of the reward. By faith, by faith, by faith. That's the story. It is faith in God, known to all the world in Jesus Christ, and showing his heart to everyone today in Jesus Christ. We are surrounded on all sides by people who went that way, not behind a tombstone somewhere, but the living examples of the life-giving Spirit of God that brought them to faith in Jesus Christ, nourished that faith, and made it all come true for them with eternal life. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Not to pray to or to seek special help from. They are not running the race today. We are. You are. Witnesses are not even in the coach's box. Jesus Christ himself is there. He's the author and finisher, the beginner and the ender, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. The saints of bygone days are witnesses, even today. They witness to the glory and power of God. They have something to say to us. What they say is, run with perseverance the race set before you, looking to Jesus, the beginner and ender of faith. Martin Luther and all the rest of them are witnesses to the grace of God and to the grace of life that he gives by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith, as Luther kept saying, is more than just knowing. It is trusting, putting yourself in somebody's hands. Committing yourself. It is saying of Jesus Christ, he is for me, and I am for him. Real faith with confidence and trust at its core is ready to run with persistence and perseverance, the race set before each one of us. It's not just dawdling along, it's running. It's not running in all directions at the same time, but running down the track which God has given you to run, and doing that with faith. Faith is simply looking to Jesus. He's there at the end, as he was at the beginning. The only difference is that at the end there will be a crown, where at the beginning there was a cross. Without that cross, no crown. That's why it takes perseverance to run the race. A 100-yard dash is soon over, but it takes a lot of perseverance to finish those last few yards. It takes a lot of perseverance right in the middle of those 100 yards. It takes nerve, drive, confidence that it can be done. It's the same kind of nerve that a toddler requires in his first steps. He's not accustomed to walking on those legs, and they feel very strange. Someone is over there a few yards away, looking out and holding out their arms to him. It is his mother, or maybe it's his father, who's been given the joy of seeing these first steps. He looks to his father, keeps his eyes on his father, and forgets about those shaky pins of his. The last few steps are one mad dash, and he falls exhausted into the arms of the one who loves him. That's the race. You can run off the track and blow the whole thing. The children of Israel went at it a day at a time for 40 years. They had a lot of ups and downs and ins and outs. Faith was not always strong. They had to be called back time and again. Finally, they made it, because God's promises carried them through. Faith takes God's promises to be true. It takes his promise of forgiveness, for example, and his promise of life to be true. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entwines itself around us. That's what it takes. The confidence in God that he forgives sins. Confidence enough to lay the sin aside as a way to get by or a way to get ahead. Someone said recently, "I'm losing confidence that one can be honest and still survive." I feel for that person. There are a lot of evidences in life that the dishonest get ahead faster than do the honest people. It takes faith to believe the promises of God that going his way, down his track, is the road to travel. It takes a lot of faith, like the faith of the toddler or of the 100-yard dash runner. It takes a lot of looking to Jesus, not just to see how he went, but where he is, at the right hand of the throne of God. A lot of weights are holding people back. There's the weight of doubt, the weight of disinterest, the weight of guilt, the weight of not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. Looking to Jesus, my friend, lay aside those weights and the sin that so easily entwines itself around you, tying you down and tying you up. Lay aside the sin, not just a particular sin, any kind of sin. It could very well be the sin of putting yourself first in everything and pushing God out of the way. That's sin. It could very well be the sin of putting yourself forward and pushing someone else out of the way to make room for yourself. That's sin. Faith looks to Jesus, puts him first, and no one gets pushed out of the way. He's the author, the beginner, the pioneer of faith. He has set the race, laid out the track, and set you on it. Now, you can ignore him if you want to. You can disregard his forgiveness. You can treat his life as if it doesn't mean anything at all. You can do that. But you're never going to win that way. He ran the race. The saints that preceded us ran the race by faith in Jesus Christ and in God who sent him. And St. Paul said, "I have run the race. I have kept the faith." No obstacle can keep you from finishing that one. Not with faith in Jesus Christ. Forgetting what is behind, Paul said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that I may get hold of what God had in mind when he got hold of me in Christ Jesus." It's great to have people who went before you like that. It may have been your father and mother. But you can't live on the faith of your father and mother. You can't live on the faith of Martin Luther. You can't live on the faith of St. Paul. It has got to be your faith. You're at the starting block right now. Are you going to run or not? The witnesses of God cheer you on. They ran the race, and they have the crown. Not all the crowns are gone by any means. There's one for you, too. It belongs to those who run with persistence the race set before them, looking to Jesus, the beginner and the ender of everything, including that faith of yours. There's good reason to believe in him, my friend. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. For the joy that was set before him, he endured a cross, forgetting about the shame. And now look at him. He sits at the right hand of the throne of God. He is in his place. Let him put you in your place. Believe in him. Trust him. Follow him confidently with courage that all of it is worthwhile, looking to Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the throne of God. For all the saints, the poet said, who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. May the soldiers faithful, true, and bold fight as the saints who nobly fought of old and win with them the victor's crown of gold. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Live by faith, my friend. Faith in Jesus Christ. You have someone to believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, and you too will be saved. Look to Jesus. In his cross, the beginner, and in his crown, the ender of your faith. Amen.